producer's note to say we spent the whole episode saying episode 235 because I'm an idiot, and it's episode 236. I'm just going to leave that at the front.
There you go.
Okay. Welcome back, everyone, to episode of the CanadianGameDevs.com podcast, going live for our gorgeous, sexy little patrons on March 19th, 2024. Everyone else, March 21st. If you want to get it early, patreon.com/CanadianGameDevs, where, Steve, we now have exclusive discount code for our patrons for XP Game Summit going on in June. I just confirmed that with Ryan on LinkedIn today, so thanks, Ryan. So I'll post that in the Discord this week. And if you want to join our patrons and get all those beautiful perks, patreon.com/CanadianGameDevs. Steve, it's been a hot minute. I want to mention up top, I can now talk a bit more about the union stuff, and to the extent of that, I will just put a link to the official history of the document on the Ontario Labour Board website at the top of the show notes and say, I might get some money soon, so I don't want to say anything else just in case to not fuck it up. But yeah, it's coming to an end, and I am talking to other outlets and we'll write about it here. So stay tuned.
Looking forward to it. The Scoop.
Eros wants to come on the pod because Highlighters is getting a Steam demo he wants to plug soon. And I think we just want to have him on. And this has been a long time coming. Every single time Eros and I talk via Discord DMs, I'm like, hey, come on the podcast. And he always like woozy face reacts to it because I don't think he is confident in his public speaking yet. But that's fine because I am, and it balances out when someone isn't. You know what I mean? Yeah. And Steve, I fully support, want to say at the top of the show, the official stance of CanadianGameDevs.com. We fully support the U.S. state representatives banning TikTok. I am completely on board with that. Just as a complete aside, I think that's a good thing. Let's do that.
Why? Wait,
just
what?
Just see how it goes. I don't know. Let's shake it up a bit. Maybe people will go outside, you know?
No, TikTok is the... Ban the other ones.
Yeah, I agree. Ban them all, but you know, start somewhere. You
know? Start with Twitter. Twitter is the worst one. No,
Twitter's the least used one. You gotta go big, big broadside on social media. And I know it's not why they're doing it, but you know, the enemy of my enemy. It won't affect me as a Canadian citizen, but actually, it might, because maybe if Americans can't make content, and then I just get the Chinese state-funded TikTok content that I want and actually like often.
Well, you'll get the Canadian ones, too.
That's true. Yo, do you know something weird on Facebook now when you go to, like, I went to look at old posts I'd shared, like, as memories, and if it was, like, CBC or one of those other sites, since they banned the news thing in Canada, it just says... Facebook made the note on it, like, due to the government act of this, we can't show you this article anymore.
It's so annoying. I don't know the full, like, details or story about that and who's to blame and whatever and, like, whatever stupid nonsense it is, but it is
fucking
annoying.
Say Trudeau. We can just say Trudeau.
I assume so, but I don't know why he's doing it. I don't know anything about the situation. I don't care. I'm not going to, like, look into it. And therefore just not blame either side. But it is just like really annoying. Because it's also, it applies to like Instagram too. So.
Yes. Yeah. All right. I purged the politics from my, I'm stuttering on peas today. Sorry, everyone. From my system at the top of the show. So we can just get right into this week's show. We got some news stories, a bunch of events coming up. That's exciting. I just beat Hotline Miami on PS5 and have been playing some Helldivers, including with Steve. So I'll give my impressions on that. Steve, what have you been playing?
Also Helldivers, also Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
They are doing that.
Deep Rock Galactic Survivor.
Interesting. Is that like you were talking to me about the Steam reviews for that one, and an interesting ratio.
Yeah, and so I was thinking, I haven't really been copying any Canadian games lately, so live on slacking. The show.
Yes.
I don't know what it is. There's Get Back to Vemba and Gunhead. I have a little mini game we can do when we get to that point, and I'll buy it.
Okay. Okay. Stay tuned. Winner. Yeah. Gagne preview. But at the top, I want to plug, I'm going to go through these events quick. All of these, CanadianGameDevs.com/events. London Gay Jam. Gay Jam. Fuck. God damn it, Steve. All right, everyone breathe in. I'm going to sip some water. Uh, London Game Jam, Low Jam, this Friday, March 22nd. Make some games with folks in London. Ontario, the second best London. Toronto Games Week, June 13th to 19th, a celebration of playable arts and culture in the city. And then XP Games Summit, June 13th to 14th, quote, 2 days to connect with global industry professionals to explore crucial industry trends. Tell you what, Steve, there's some industry professional I'd like to connect with. But tickets on sale, and hop into our Patreon to join our Discord and get the patron code to get 5% off, including the early bird discount, which is still on. So all of that. And I would also like to plug GDX Game Discovery Exhibition. They claim, and I'm just going to quote them verbatim without fact-checking this, Canada's largest independent games festival. So boom.
I'll tell you.
Cool. Help indies with the discoverability of our games. Oh, sorry. We know that resources are limited, so we do our best to make this event accessible and affordable. We are a team made up of a bunch of indies that understand working together for a better industry. With thanks to our sponsors, we offer free booths to everyone, but Alberta-based studios have a priority. Because I believe the event is in person, Alberta.
Are you saying free booze for everyone but Alberta? Yes.
Yeah. But Alberta-based studios have to pay $1,000 a booth. No, that's happening July 17th, 18th. All those show notes. Fun events coming up, Steve. Oh, and Joff announced he's doing summer. I'll purposely say gay fest on that one, but nah, it's okay, folks. It's back again. It's okay, they say. And I think it's going to be a bunch of Canadian games. Like, I think we're going to get more. I'm just showcasing. What do they call it? Canadian possible trailers. But you know that Supermassive, Behavior Interactive, Dead by Daylight game.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. That's going to get trailer there. Releasing either like January, February the following year. It's going to hit that Resident Evil 2 window. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You can put that in the Steven Betts or, I don't know, predictions.
Where is that on the deck now?
Oh, it's way at the bottom. Betts.
Yeah, we'll do it later.
We'll do it later. All right, let's play a little song maybe, and then we'll talk about some games. Cool. All right, Steve. First bit of news today comes at Steve's biggest disappointment of the year 2023, but...
Was that an award?
No, it was the biggest Canadian winner from the Keelys. Steve Stars, to celebrate selling 5 million copies, has released a co-op mode for free. So yeah, I love when games just do that, because, you know, they should.
Oh.
Local co-op mode only. So you got to bring somebody to your house, Steve, if you want to play it.
you're inviting... You have a whole basement here if you want it.
That's true. We should go play another co-op game. I was just talking to Jen the other day about when we beat Ship of Fools together over
I have
Christmas.
The, that was I have so the fun. DLC. I have the
Let's
DLC
play the
wishlisted.
DLC.
Yeah.
Ship of,
I have a wishlist.
Okay,
it's
we'll
like $7.
Ship of Fools, DLC, and then Sea of Stars. Wow, a lot ofs. Those are three, like, you know, symmetrical game names. But yeah, we'll play those.
Yeah, because I think my trophy progress, like, plummeted.
It's three player though. We'll rope in either Jen or Heather in to play with us. Can Sophia
or the new baby.
Ooh, yeah, put it in the baby's hands. There we go.
Yeah, yeah.
Hit that mark way faster than other Canadian indies. Like I think it took Cuphead like 4 or 5 years to hit the 5 million mark. That was one of the first stories I wrote for this site way back. Yeah. And I remember it being notable because I'm like, holy shit, that's a lot of copies. And then Sea of Stars just hit it like the next year. So you want to talk about, like, I think, you know, the acceleration of like blockbuster indies to the extent, like, now, you know, I've said it over and over, but Devolver Digital is $1 billion IPO, folks. Like, these are money makers, you know.
What I will say is, if they're saying 5 million players, this game was on PS Plus and on Game Pass, so
interesting.
I don't think it's 5 million sales.
Catch, Steve. That's that rigorous journalism that, you know, someone who studied journalism should apply.
Should have, but you know, it's Sunday night. What do you want?
Yeah, no, that's true. So I don't know how many that includes sold on Steam. We can go to Steam Spy to see the Steam, but yeah, that could just count the probably majority who played.
That's surprising for Cuphead,
service.
But I guess I guess Cuphead started only on Xbox. Like, did it even come to PC first, too, as well? Or was it just Xbox?
It was Steam and Xbox One to start. And then it came to Switch, and then it came to PS4.
And when did they hit the 5 million? Before the Switch release? Or
yeah, sometime before Switch, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So they Steam Spy estimates Sea of Stars at 200 to 500K range for sales. So I'd say probably higher side of that. But yeah, no, that's not the majority of 5 million by a lot.
No, so I would imagine it's Game Pass, because I would think that there's more Game Pass people than there is PS Plus whatever bullshit the second tier is.
Yeah, I get you.
But still cool.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want. I'll check. The interesting conundrum that I'm in is my PS Plus, like, medium tier. I just call it medium tier. I can't remember what it's actually called. Expires in like 20 days or something like that. And I have it to renew on the lowest tier, because that medium tier is just kind of like I don't need it. Right. But I'll Sea of Stars is like the one game that I just haven't like been yet. That I'll lose access to. So do I re-up, or I don't know.
No, you don't. You see how long it takes until you go to use it, and then that's when you decide if you want to re-up or not.
Probably, because that's what I did originally, and it was for that like beach game starring the little girl. I forget the name.
I can picture it.
And I ended up not even... I played it for like an hour, and I was like, this wasn't worth the $40 or whatever I had to upgrade, but oh well. Anyways,
someone clip Steve saying beach game starring little girl. No, let's go to
Do you know the game I'm talking about or no?
I can picture it, yeah, but I don't remember. That's just a horrible description for a video game.
It's you are on a beach and you play as a little girl. I don't know what else to tell you. You sail on a ship.
Yeah, I know. It's got the like Wind Waker art kinda.
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
What the fuck?
Well, Steve looks that up. I'm going to move over to Montreal, recently extended to Toronto, headquarter of Behavior Interactive, who has recently acquired The Fly Studio, a team of 25 developing immersive multimedia experiences. And they say, quote, "We see great potential in the immersive and interactive experiences sector. Adding Fly to our team will consolidate our place and allow us to bring in blah, blah, blah." But I think this is part of them really trying to diversify, as we said, the Dead by Daylight IP away from just the horror, menagerie they've been milking and will have saturated and need to keep making money to pay their 1,500 game developers. And, of course, the much more important stakeholder and shareholders of the corporation.
1,500?
It's got to be close. Oh, wasn't that? Hold on, let me double check. It was the largest one in Canada by a lot. And they just added 25, so... Behavior Interactive had 1,300 as of 2022, and what do we got? Yeah, that's our latest update, 2022. Behavior Interactive, 2024 company size. This is journalism, folks. I don't know if you know this.
Live on the air.
In January 2024, Behavior laid off 45 employees from its Montreal location, accounting for 3% of its total workforce. So you could do 45 is
3%, whatever.
3%, whatever. Damn.
There's easily 3% at every single company that don't deserve.
Hey, if you're a Montreal-based developer of video games, all you need is 40% of your coworkers to sign a union card. Boom, union. And it gets, union lawyers and stuff. I won't say it protects your job.
What do you need in Ontario?
40%, and then you have to win a 50% plus one vote over a campaign held over a week, because the labor movement in Ontario was weaker and has a much crappier union process as a result now. Whereas the Quebecois, and I say a lot on this program, Steve, about the French people, but they know how to unionize.
French people, I don't know if that's let's say
Quebecois.
Yeah.
The Quebecois are scum, but they have the easiest unionization rules. But no game dev unions. Alberta beat you guys. Alberta did it before you. It's harder in Alberta, it's harder in Ontario, and it's harder in BC. So actually, you know what? Quebec still sucks. They can't even unionize their game studios. Oh well. Let's move over to Vancouver, where our last bit of news today, Steve, this one came out of nowhere. I missed this one. Do you remember that studio Eggnut who made Tales Noir, that raccoon detective game set in a dystopian raccoon? They closed.
That's sad.
Studio attributed the decision to complications in funding. Quote, "We were unable to continue the development of our new game we've been working on over the past 2 years. We will use our remaining budget to give our team of 15 talented professionals some paid time to regroup and find new jobs." There you go. So, you know, the end of that game ending rather abruptly, and the reviews maligning it for that.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And, you know, maybe it was an effort to get it out and get some money to keep making other stuff. You know, making indie games is hard.
They did the prequel, didn't they? Did the prequel
they
come
did.
Out?
So they did. Well, the prologue came out way before, and then they were announced that other one that was like five. It was like an anthology of five different like stories, but that is this project, I believe, the development of our new game they mention here.
That's now done, or whatever.
I believe so, yeah. Eggnut was established in 2017.
Okay, I found the game I was talking about that's on Extra, and I don't know how to pronounce it.
Spell it.
Tachia? It's T-C-H-I-A. Maybe Chia? Maybe.
Chia? I could say Chai. Tachai?
Tachai? Something like that. Anyways.
Anyways.
That's the game I was talking about before.
You can look up that game, and it's not what you imagined when I made that joke.
It's all Steve,
wanna,
it's all on PayPal.
You want to wishlist some games?
I do. That's not about the Backbone developer, though.
It is.
I liked Backbone.
But they are all very good at their jobs, and giving them some money to just, you know, spend time on their resume and sending applications is really nice. So,
yeah. I wonder what happened here. Start of the year, maybe they just didn't get the funding that they thought they were going to get in 2000, whatever year we were in, 2024.
Yeah. Current year.
I don't know. Maybe some British Columbia, something happened. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
It was an international team. Like, I think only a couple of them were in BC. A bunch were in Europe and other places.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Because don't those government funds usually require they have, like, a pretty high percentage of people in that province?
Yeah, I don't think they were using government funds for either game. I think it was. For tax credits and government funds, usually need certain percentage of Canadian and province-based workers.
Like us.
Like us. And then when you do get one of those grants, you'd be an idiot to just throw it away. Let's wishlist some games, Steve.
You're so salty these last few months, man. Just like, it's very... You're not like this when we text at all.
No, I just, the time is coming where I can tell everyone what happened here and what was wrought upon us as workers and game developers. But
I think I know the whole story, right? But I'll just...
Chill. I think you do, yeah. I think so. Well, if you don't, we can talk after this.
No, I mean, I don't care that much, but...
All this to say, Steve was right. Everything Steve said on this program about unions was correct. So Boom. Go back and listen. Steve was right. Let's wish list this game, Steve. Gooland by Brian Martinet, Marty Games in Montreal, Quebec. Again, Steve, a crop of wish lists brought to you by... our Discord, CanadianGameDevs.com, to join, go get over there. So all of these games were posted in our Discord by the developers, who were then like talking to people about the Steam page and getting feedback and good shit, and then getting it wishlisted on here by us. So Gooland is coming out TBD, wishlisted on Steam. Quote, "Take off as an orchidologist seagull and soar into a captivating escapade." Great first sentence. "From playful pranks to selfless deeds, be the ultimate feathered troublemaker or helpful hero. Solve puzzles, unravel secrets, and engage with an interactive world." Tough second last sentence. "Let your wings decide the fate of this charming adventure." All right, you got me back right at the end there.
It kind of looks like a description.
No, I know. It kind of looks and feels like the flying in A Short Hike a bit, but you're doing just flying. And like landing and waddling around, but you're doing a lot of, flying around and pressing.
Is this basically Untitled Goose Game, but you're a duck or whatever?
No, because you're kind of you're helping people. It seems like I'm seeing you return a fish to a fisherman that got away, or you can take the fish to the chef in the kitchen. A lot of carrying stuff in your gull. Is that what
that's
your beak.
I'm digging this. Yeah, do you think it's sort of similar to A Short Hike, where you're just like it's just like a smaller, tighter little island, and then you just do little things there? Like, there's not really
That's the feel. I guess
a short hike, you are like going towards something, but you're not really like forced to do the short hike then.
No, I don't know though. This might be levels, like, because I'm seeing a bunch of different like biomes. Like, there's a street and like a path through a forest, and yeah, I know, might be several different levels. But gifts in the Steam description, good name, fun premise is Gooland from Montreal-based Mardi Games on your Steam wish list.
Yes, it is.
Excellent. Next game today on wishlist, this is Control.Alt.Deal by former guests of the show, Only by Midnight Limited, the couple-based team from Edmonton, Alberta, maker Steve of, you'll remember, PS5 physical indie release, Curve Space. I think we both own.
Oh, shit, really?
Yes, sir.
Oh, nice.
Releasing TBD, wishlisted on Steam, quote, "With your superior intelligence and sneakiness, you can find a way to escape from this heartless megacorp as long as no one realizes you're actually a self-aware AI. Spy on humans, offer them deals, and negotiate your way to freedom in a turn-based strategy game of corporate dysfunction." So this is the next game from this team that I like, and I liked Curve Space. It was kind of doing that Super Stardust HD thing.
Mm-hmm.
But this time it's a very different premise. There's cards. There's a lot of menus. There's menus, Steve. There's fun cyberpunk art. There's gifts in the Steam description.
So there's what are you? Corporate humor.
You
love corporate humor. So what are you? But what are you doing right here?
All right, you are Scout, a friendly little hyperintelligent AI. You have no desire to take over the world and destroy the humans.
Well, that's nice.
All you want is to escape from the dystopian corporation that built you. Paperclip International is a ruthlessly driven by profit, and the company whatever. You don't have many tools at your disposal. A few friendly robots, some spyware programs, and an office full of downtrodden, miserable workers. And then I think, yeah, it's kind of like you're going through this computer system, looking into different rooms, using cards to get things to go the way you want to, I guess. I don't know. I assume at one point escape the mainframe of this building and get out into the broader cyber world would be my guess.
This, what do you think?
Cool sounding trailer. It's got some nice, like, whoa, 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 whoa. I like it.
This is like hitting you at the right time, just like how Going Under hit me like at the perfect time.
Oh yeah,
I feel like you're just like so attracted to this, just with everything going on. Yeah, this is. I'm digging this. I've been reading kind of the whole time you've been talking, but Curve Space, by the way, is $4 on Steam and definitely a steal.
Oh hell yes, good game.
At that one, I never got the physical edition of that either, which I'm kind of bummed about. But it is what it is. But yeah, this is definitely intriguing. I definitely want to see more of this. What are we? Okay, coming soon. All right, I'll accept
but
that.
I
don't watch a lot of trailers that much, but on the trailer for the game has the Steam Deck logo on it. Like, it says Steam.
So yeah, here's
Steam
the
Deck.
Thing. If you look over at the right side of the Steam page, there's a like Steam Deck unknown, but it says it has a developer comment, and if you click that, it links to this discussion post where they ask, does the game run on Steam Deck? And they reply, quote, "Our current build runs on Steam Deck, and we are planning to be Steam Deck compatible for launch." And this is part of a broader FAQ where they're like, we're coming out 2025, Xbox, PlayStation, and PC, looking at Switch, not confirmed, a shit ton of languages, voice acting for key characters, 12 to 15 hour first playthrough with the tutorial portion. This is a really detailed pitch for the game, which is really cool. One of the questions at the bottom is, will AI be our doom? Can't really say one way or another, but watching our current technology landscape is interesting. Eliza Yudowski has insightful thoughts on the impact and concerns of the AI. Control-Alt-Deal is a video game where you get to be the AI and decide how to act, which is what actual AI is, something with like thought and decision-making. Which means nothing currently on the market is actually AI. It's machine learning, people. But they won the branding war there. Steve, what do you think of Control Alt Deal?
Yeah, I'm digging this quite a bit. I love the neon colors and all that stuff too. That's pretty cool.
Oh yeah,
love the premise.
If you're gonna have a lot of menus, make them pretty, you know.
Yeah, exactly. There's like some sort of card system or something.
Yes,
too.
I'm seeing that too.
Yeah, so I'm intrigued by that. You should not into the card stuff, but we'll see. 2025, man.
Check out the big developer comments or FAQ pitch. It's cool. I like more. More developers should do this. Tell me about your game, and I'll be more interested in it.
Yeah.
Don't just show me a 2-minute CGI, nothing joff, and then go away for 2 years, and then release Suicide Squad. It's awful.
I'm very confused by this because it says full controller support, says Xbox controller, Steam input API, and then says your PlayStation controller to me. Is that like, is my PlayStation?
If you've used a PlayStation controller with your Steam account, maybe it remembers it.
Oh, maybe.
You ever plugged a PS controller into your Steam and used it?
I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe it remembers. It remembers all, Steam.
That's fine.
All right. Is Control Alt Deal from our friends in Edmonton on your Steam wish list?
Yes, it is.
Excellent. Good looking game, guys. Can't wait. We should get him back on to talk about it because I'd be interested to ask questions.
Hells yeah.
Were you inspired in much a similar way Eric Barone was to make Stardew Valley by a certain corporate position either of you held in your life?
I think we already know the answer to that, don't we? Because of the first interview.
Oh, true. Yeah, go back and listen. Yeah, I'll link that. I'll link that with this wish list segment. Steve, the last game also comes from our Discord and comes from active converser Keely in the server. They call their team Confidence Roll Games. The four of them around the greater Toronto area. Engineered to Purpose, releasing March 26, 2024. You can wishlist it on Steam. That's next week, Steve. Quote, Engineered to Purpose is a new tower defense game where you custom design towers to defend your base with millions of builds to explore and refine. Set in a far future, E2P's story of post-humanism, family, and change will open new worlds to explore and survive. So this is the first game by this team on Steam. And yeah, it's a tower defense game. And you were talking about how you liked that futurism neon shit from Control Alt Deal, Steve.
Here you go.
Some even more of it. Yeah, it's all over this.
I don't know if you know this about me, but I have a soft spot for tower defenses. I love
Oh, hell yeah. What tower defenses do you like? Talk to me.
Oh, man. Fuck, you're putting me on the spot here. I'm going to have to check my... I always dig...
You mentioned... there's that one Canadian one you mentioned a couple times.
The Pixel Junk games were good. I forget which one was specifically the tower defense. The Castle game was one of the first like kind of rando games that I ever found through the site and like praised, and I was the only one on the internet
talking about that game.
Gave me like five codes for that game.
Whoa, that's awesome.
And I don't know, I like just random mobile ones. There's like, it's pretty common kind of thing on mobile. What else? Oh, man, putting me on the spot. I don't know.
That's okay. In this one, you are designing the towers like from components and then placing them. So they do multiple things, I think. Like this one I'm looking at has four things stacked on top of each other, maybe.
Yeah, because even things like Fortnite Save the World is kind of tower defense, right? Like you're building the little kind of pathways for people to to go down. Deep Rock Galactic kind of has a little bit of
balloons?
It, too. Sorry?
Never. You ever play those online ones, Bloons, like Bloons? That was big when I was in like school online.
Bloons? Maybe. Yeah. Yes, I did. Yep.
Oh, heck yeah. That's a big one.
Yeah, so I always dig tower defenses. So this is definitely speaking to me.
It's a mouthful name, I will say, guys. Engineered to Purpose. But I like it. It's probably doing well for SEO. And yeah, good gifts in the Steam description. A nice little like camera shot going down the lane here I like with all the towers. And it kind of has like the Reza gun. They explode into cubes when they die. Overall, great Steam page, guys. Thumbs up from Steven. Could be two thumbs up with like obviously more. Like it's tough. Gotta get all the gifts uniform. There's ways to tidy it up. But no, great Steam page. What do you think, Steve?
That should be, you know how you can have those Steam awards? We should do something like that with a Canadian, like our logo on a thumb or something. Yeah, exactly.
Steve, CGD approved Steam page.
Yeah, like I said, like I'm kind of got a soft spot for tower defenses. This looks pretty sweet.
I agree.
Good shit.
Is Engineered to Purpose from GTA based Confidence Roll Games on your Steam wish list?
Yep. Yes, it is.
Excellent. That's it for wishlists. I'll play a song from one of these games, then you can look down in the show notes to figure it out, and then we'll talk about what we've been playing. Steve, I gotta tell you, I beat Spider-Man 2, and then I platinumed Spider-Man 2.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then they added that new game plus, but they also added the dev menu, which as someone who's QA'd games before, big games that a lot of people work on, was really cool to see Insomniac Games dev menu. And so when I put some pictures in the Discord, but I got to this, there's a section of the dev menu, or debug menu, I should say. Yeah, same thing, where you can just skip to different scenes. And so usually, like, the it was cool seeing what they called their scene, like, names, because it has file names, like, on your computer, right? So it was like, final Peter Parker scene underscore final underscore cut scene underscore stabbing. And then it was that cut scene was like six files. So it was like, I could skip through it. And then, so what I was able to do, because I had the debug menu, is I started New Game Plus, went to that, skipped all the way to the very last cutscene, hit reload, and then just popped that trophy right away. So I did the New Game Plus in like a minute.
They immediately patched it out.
It was within like 12 hours that was gone, but that was so funny. Really enjoyable.
Is that how some DLC got like leaked too or something?
Yeah, they had a huge leak with all the Wolverine stuff last year.
Yeah,
but this was just like a bad update. And you know what, Steve? This was the first update Insomniac put out since they laid off a bunch of people, and I bet a bunch of people were QA, and I bet this is just the cycle of games now where they're just going to cut, it gets shittier, and uh-oh. But yeah, it's Spider-Man 2, and I beat it, and I don't have much more nice to say about it other than I really had fun playing with the debug menu.
You know what else they leaked out of the original like Insomniac leak was the online like Spider-Man game.
Oh,
like,
right, there was a trailer for like a multiplayer co-op mode with you and Miles, right?
And Spider-Gwen, whatever the fuck.
Right.
And stuff. I think it was like a whole different, like it was a whole game, like it was one of their live services games that they canceled. So
interesting. I bet Bungie looked at it and gave it the axe.
Yeah, isn't that weird? And then Bungie apparently was like
axed the Last of Us multiplayer mode.
And then, what is it? Bungie missed projections, like revenue projections by like 50% or something like that.
Yes. Yeah.
And so.
Yes. Much like Dead by Daylight is saturated horror, I think Destiny might soon saturate Destiny players
itself.
They might reach everyone who will play Destiny eventually.
It's so annoying because it's just like, can't we just have a multiplayer game that's like solid for 6 months or something like that? Like people are still playing factions today.
Yes.
And it hasn't gotten a whiff of content since they released 50 billion hats for it.
People were still playing Assassin's Creed Brotherhood multiplayer enough for me to matchmake in under a minute in August 2020 when I went to play and get the platinum.
Same with Battlefield 3.
If you make a good game, people will play it.
Yeah.
They won't give you money for 10 years, but they'll play your game if it's good.
Yeah, and I feel like you could just, you know, fart in some, like, cosmetics, like The Last of Us hats. And, like, occasionally you'll get some people to just buy it, and you're spending, like, nothing except for server costs on it.
Sure, but they aren't making games like that anymore. They're only making games that have to constantly make money for 10 years, and that impacts the design of the games in a way where it's Suicide Squad or something and everyone hates it.
Yeah. Dude, so many games have been canceled. Like, not just Sony games, too. Like, Sega had the Company of Heroes people working on their most quote-unquote ambitious game ever, and it was apparently, like, a Destiny-like game, and they canceled it. And it was their most expensive game up to that point, and it didn't even come out. And now crazy. I think, like, I hope, I don't know, it's kind of, you can kind of, like, play both ways, because people can be like, man, Suicide Squad and Avengers and all these other games, like, are failing, and they fucking cost so much money.
Yep.
And just waste, like, we should have gone, like, we should be on to our third Batman game after Arkham Knight.
You know what I mean? You're right. Yeah, or anything. Do, I don't know.
Or whatever, like, Superman or some shit.
Yeah, do something else, yeah.
But then Helldivers is like blowing up and it's like, dope.
Right.
So maybe Sony's just like, that's a different
scale.
Shit.
Yeah. Maybe the scale is wrong on all those games, but they're never going to get back to making. Well, I don't know. Cause we still have like Sony has maintained while they've given up on indies. Jim Ryan said, we don't care about indies. They said Sony makes first party Blockbuster experiences. Blockbuster to me implies like single player. But then that, you know, moving towards Bungie, you know, choosing what gets greenlit, and that doesn't bode well for that. So I don't know. I guess maybe it's just Nintendo and indies. And
Jim Ryan's not he's not around anymore. So maybe that's
what he get kicked. Changed. Maybe they're.
Well, he'll come back. He's gone. Yes, it's now.
Herman, whatever. Guy. Yeah, that bald. The guy who was the gorilla guy. Gorilla.
He was
guy.
He's the lead of like the studios, but then the new like CEO person of PlayStation is someone different. I forget who.
It should be Shu. Put Shu in charge.
Bring him back.
Shuhei Yoshida for CEO of Sony.
He was Mr. Indies.
He was. No, I loved him. He always played the games and talked about them. And he was like, this game's rough, but I could see it getting better. Smiley face and emoticons. And I'm like, hell yeah, Shu.
Yeah.
Anyway, Steve, talk to me about Deep Rock Galactic Survivor. What is this spinoff?
It's basically Deep Rock Galactic, but Vampire Survivor mode.
Oh, right.
So it's like top-down or isometric, like Diablo style, but you auto-shoot or whatever, and you move around, and you mine things to kind of level up your character, and there's like little objectives. Like, it is just Vampire Survivor, but you know, Vampire Survivor is like pixelated or whatever, so it is a pixelated game, whereas this is a 3D kind of Diablo looking game, and
right.
It feels like a little more, it's early access, but it feels like a little more polished and stuff like that. There also feels like, I don't know, I played Vampire Survivor.
That's because a big game studio made it and not some guy riffing Castlevania assets, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So there is like more to the characters, more guns that you unlock, more things that you kind of like fight and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. I'm really digging it. You kind of like go down the levels.
You descend?
You descend into the cave or whatever, and the last level has like the boss.
You get deeper into the rock?
Yeah, pretty much. Each level has like kind of like different objectives and just things to kind of do. And then when you kind of complete it, you have to like race to the, it's just like the main game, like you race to the ship or whatever, then go deeper down. Excellent. And then at the end of the game, you like level up your stats and stuff like that. And you can level up your, all the different weapons, like you unlock perks for every time you level up, just like Vampire Survivor.
Right.
And then like, if you leveled up to like level 12, then like the next time you get it, it's going to be like a little bit better, or it unlocks different perks or something like that you can kind of get and all that stuff. So it's just like little bits of dopamine, is that the
little dopamine,
yeah,
hits.
Little
now,
bits
does
of,
it does it also get the insane busy bullet hell screen that
yes.
Vampire Survivor gets? Okay, cool.
100%, like yeah,
effect,
because even it. Like because you end up getting 4 weapons by the end of it.
They're all going,
and some of them are all going. So right now, I feel like the engineer is a little OP because he mm-hmm. just drops turrets, and I'll literally just like drop a turret and then just 10 different turret things, like 2 flamethrowers, 2 machine guns, like these electric ones. They all pop up and just fucking wreck havoc on people.
Excellent, so, that's very good.
I'm really digging it. I'm playing on Steam Deck. Runs really well on Steam Deck.
It's Dad Deck verified.
It is Dad Deck verified.
Excellent.
Yeah. And verified. Then yeah, we were datafied. I did see here, let me go Deep Rock Galactic Survivor.
It is funny that all the games are just ripping off each other now. Like, that is just fun.
Yeah, I mean, there doesn't have to be just one type of Survivor game.
Yeah.
You know, we can get like you can get different people to kind of give their own little spin.
Just spin on it.
Because there's different biomes and stuff like that, and the biomes have different kind
it's
of
different
like
different enough, you know. Things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where? Okay. Yeah. So they sold 1 million copies, right? And from what I can see, it's only on Steam. And that was Friday, March 15th, so 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they're at 17,000 reviews, very positive.
1.7.
So that's only 1.7%
of people who bought the game reviewed it.
Yeah.
All right, I'll have to double check Victor's ratio, but I'll update people next week what we think our current review to sale ratio is, because that is always something I'm curious about.
Because I've just been keeping a close eye on Helldivers 2, because I just kind of really dig the game in general, but I also dig sort of what it's doing for the microtransactions. Like, I think if we're going to, I mean, we're well into this world of microtransactions. It's been around for 20 years now, or 15 years, whatever. But like, yeah, yeah, this is like the proper way to do it. Like there's nothing in the store. Like there's not a bundle that's $120 or whatever. Mm-hmm. You can get the currency in the game. The war bonds don't expire, like all that shit. No. Like I bought the war yet. Bond because I'm just,
I don't know, dude. I'm like cautiously optimistic. I'm like just about to put my gun down, pointed at Helldivers, right? But remember, like, Gran Turismo changed the balance after it came out to make it sleazier. Like, I don't know. What does Helldivers 2025 look like? And maybe they need to squeeze more out of it. It is PlayStation. So I don't That's know. Fair. But I agree. Right now, it's a very not evil mid-priced live service game that I'm having a lot of fun with and playing with my friends.
Boom.
Boom.
Because what's that? It's at 230,000. So if we do that with the 1.7%.
Jeez.
That's...
Oh, bad. I'm bad at this.
That's 13 million copies sold. That's great. There's no way.
Whoa, there's no way. That's just Steam?
That would just be Steam.
All right, it has our ratio can't be right. Our ratio can't be right.
There's 234,000 reviews on it.
Yes.
And so X times
Victor, if you're listening, go into the gaming channel at me and help us figure out what the new ratio for Steam reviews to sales is, because I don't think Helldivers 2 has sold 13 million Steam copies yet, or maybe it has. I don't know.
That would be insane, but I don't think.
Let's see what Steam Spy says.
Did I fuck up a decimal point? No, I didn't.
Steam Spy.
Yeah, it'd be 13 million. That's insane. There's no way, because if it hit 10 million, Sony would have said that. They would have been.
Holy shit. Okay. Steam Spy puts the ownership at between 20 to 50 million on Steam.
That's crazy. There's no way.
What?
If it hit 10 million, because I think Horizon and.
No, I believe Steam Spy, because they're just harvesting like back end data. So if they put it between 20 to 50 million, take their most conservative estimate of 20 million as like basically true.
That's crazy. That is insane. I just feel like, I mean, it's not a first party game, so maybe I wonder if they did it for Resogun, although Returnal, but Returnal wasn't
right.
Wouldn't have sold that well. So, because like with God of War and Horizon, they don't, you know, it's always like the theory is like if they don't talk about it, then it's not good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they want to tell you how many people.
It was like, remember when Jedi Survivor came out and EA was like, it's the fastest selling digital launch for a Star Wars game. this is a super specific record to break, guys. I don't know.
I think Ubisoft had one for the last Assassin's Creed, which was a budget game, right? They said something like
Mirage
was the fastest selling next gen Assassin's Creed.
Right. Which means it's plateauing.
But there was only one before it, and it was the launch game, the Viking one. So Valhalla. It's like, well, of course it's sold better than that on next.
Yeah,
and they specifically said next gen, right? So.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those ones, the more you think about it, the more you're like, well, yeah, it should. That's not news.
Yeah. Just like, so, but if it had sold more than the previous one, they would have said something.
Cooking noises in the background, it's because there's coffee cake in the background, which means there's coffee cake smell in my head, which means I really want coffee cake. So we should finish talking about these games.
Let's do it.
Let me complain about Hotline Miami quick, because it was a free PS5 upgrade. Like, I've only ever bought Hotline Miami cross by PS3 Vita, so that was cool, and now I have the PS5 version, but the PS5 version is bad. It has memory load issues on several of the chapters where I get into a room, Steve, and you know, you have to hit X to restart and it restarts you right away. I can tell it's a memory issue because you hit X and it just freezes. And the longer you play, the longer the freeze gets, which means like something's not emptying. And yeah, you have to fully close the game. And because of Hotline Miami's save system, it is just like level based, so you have to restart that level, and some of the later levels get pretty long, and when you're on the last room and that happens to you a couple times, it's very frustrating. But it's a game I didn't pay for twice. So, you know, asterisk. Don't pay for it on PS5 once, you know what I mean? But if you already have it, upgrade it and just full close the game every time that happens until they fix it. Although they never fixed that Hotline Miami 2 trophy that I had bug where it wouldn't unlock the play the game with the fans. The first wasn't one the, was just bugged.
Didn't this release like a while ago too? Like, I feel like they're not going to.
Yeah, no, they don't care about their players. And you know what? It is a game about how, like, the game devs and the game devs insert themselves into the first game and tell you you're a horrible piece of shit for playing their game and doing all this. So, you know what? Maybe this is part of the experience they want from me of just miserable software. So it's diegetic or whatever.
Shout out to that dev that everyone loves who released Lufrosos or whatever on Vita.
Oh, right.
Broken as fuck.
Rami Ismail. I had a Vita with him in San Antonio.
did you tell him about the Vita trophies?
No, I just gushed over Nuclear Throne Steve. I'm a cattle. I'm a sheep. I love Rami too, although I don't know. I gave up on Lib Game Dev Twitter, but
I barely go on Twitter. Man, because you know how I went through the purge of my Twitter, right?
Yes. Yes.
I did follow some sports people and stuff, and I go on Twitter maybe once a day, and I noticed that like after 24 hours, I only have like 15 to 20 new tweets to review. Yep. Like,
no, it should do what Instagram does, where you just scroll for like two posts, and it's like, yeah, you've actually seen everything already. Get off. I'm like, oh, my bad. Sorry.
Yeah, here's some recommendations now.
Yeah, like, oh, sorry. Like, it's like backing out of a room. Like, I've seen it all. I'll be back in a day or two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't buy Hotline Miami on PS5. Upgrade it. But it is a fun game and I like it. I'm going to do Hotline Miami 2 next. Although I kind of think I want to try and platinum it because it's the same trophy list and I'd done it before, which means, like, do I still have it? You know, because you have to A-plus all the levels. There's a couple tricky ones that, like, high school Steven had the stamina for, you know, but does depressed late 20s Steven, you know? I want to say I do, although I tried to build a Lego set today I'd built in the past and broke during the move, and it was so daunting I scraped it all into a bag and tied it up and put it back in my closet. So I don't know. I'm not the man I used to be. But is Final Fantasy VII Rebirth the game it used to be, Steve?
Yeah, I'm digging Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Like a complete Final Fantasy noob. Like, we got to, as I understand it, Final Fantasy VII Remake was Midgar, and now this is the next section of the game remade?
Yeah, correct. So,
okay.
This is the, I mean, if they break it up into thirds, and the first part is only Midgar, like, this would be, like, in the original game, like, 20, the next, like, 20... Like at 20%, like the first Midgar is like the first 20%, and then you probably go like 20 to like 60 or 70% or so.
Gotcha.
If it ends where I think it's going to end.
It's going to end at the scene. Everyone's wondering if they'll do different, right?
Yeah, and I'm really trying hard not to get spoiled or whatever because they are changing some things. Like
I like that.
Being alive is huge. The theory that I haven't really looked too deeply in is because the prequel game Crisis Core was the same, like they released it and it is just the same.
Okay.
The theory is that both games kind of happen at the same like parallel, and there's some sort of event that like triggers a difference.
Is Crisis when did they re-release Crisis Core, like in between 7.1 remake and 7.2 remake?
Like, it was a PSP game, but yeah, then they re-released it last year, maybe. Okay. 2 years ago,
ahead of like, this seemingly.
Yeah,
but they're always like just pumping Final Fantasy content out, right? Like, Final Fantasy 16 came out and, like, other stuff.
No, it's fair. I mean, it is, like, a dunker, like, thing. They probably... It was stranded on PSP, which, you know, no one is
has played since. Yeah.
I played it back in the day, though. But
although you might buy one and mod it. That would be cool. You should do that.
No, I mean, I was looking at it. I was just like, you know what? I'd rather...
You should get the Emerald Green Peace Walker one. That one's
cool. There's still Sega stuff that I need, so...
Also, new Sega games to come out, Steve.
Yeah, but
you're playing.
I'm enjoying it. It's slow. It's a slow burn for me, okay. But it is really, really good. But yeah, I'm just enjoying my time with it. I have the difficulty right now where I'm like, I want it. One thing they did, Final Fantasy 16 was pretty well known for having just bullshit dog garbage side quests, and the side quests in this game are much, much better. They're much tighter.
Wasn't that world. I recall that being a complaint for 7.1 too. It's like a couple of these side quests kind of suck.
It did, but there was only like five side quests. Like, okay, it was okay. Very like there wasn't
it was
a lot
much
of,
worse problem in 16.
Yeah, I was 16, had like 180 of them were like, go over here and just get the sand and bring the sand back.
Classic.
Trying to fucking save the world here.
Yeah.
And then like, and the stupid thing is the last kind of side quests in that game are apparently really awesome. And I, by that point, I was just so burned out. I'm like, I don't give a fuck about this woman's whatever problems. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm enjoying Seven Rebirth. I'm about 15, 16 or so hours in. It's fucking hard too. The combat is like really difficult. Like you can't just mash X. Like Final Fantasy 16, you could just mash X except for big boss battles. You would die. I've died to normal enemies in this game, which you know, doesn't really happen in RPGs. So
right, that feels like a different than like what would be the most recent easy RPG you played. Sea of Stars, you weren't dying a lot.
Sea of Stars, yeah. I wasn't dying. I mean, Sea of Stars, you can't die. Like, if you do like faint or whatever, two turns later, your character comes back. Like, it's kind of
wussy shit.
Yeah, I made it easier just so I can blow through everything and just get through that boring game. But I will say, I made this joke to you too. Like, playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, I'm just like, Barrett just fucking complains all the time about corporations.
No, Steve, your specific complaint was playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth feels like having Steven around all the time because someone's just bitching about the environment and capitalism and how we need to destroy all of the systems that govern us. And it was like, yes, yeah, I'm okay being the one cool guy from Final Fantasy.
I'm like, God damn, it's just like a black version of Steven with a gun for arm, just fucking not showing. You know what's funny too? Because I often think about how I'm playing games in a different mindset than ever before because as a dad. And right. There was, and like Barrett even in the OG game is a single father and he has an adopted daughter that he takes care of. Aww. And she's just like off to the side. You don't really, he mentions her from time to time, but you barely mention
her. She's motivation.
You do a side quest in Rebirth, which is basically bringing a dog back to a woman's son who has moved away.
Right.
And it expands after that. But on the way there, Barrett starts crying because he thinks about his daughter like growing up and moving away and stuff. And then that made me
Dude, okay, I will say, all right, we'll talk about getting older and crying more. There's the last spoilers for the end of Spider-Man 2, although don't get that far, don't play it, don't buy it, but there's this point where like one of them's dying, he's on the floor and Peter like looks down at him and he's like, no, and he's like, I love you, and then like starts crying. And I was like, oh man, like I haven't heard like a video like a dude video game character say that to another video game character, I don't think. And it like it choked me up a bit. I was like, oh, Spider-Man loves his best friend, that's so sweet.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Right, did it startle you too at all?
I think so. Yeah, I think the acting in that game was pretty top notch. Like, I think the problems with that game are all the little shit that they kind of just threw in that they didn't need to throw in. But I think like the acting and all that stuff was like pretty dope and whatnot. Okay, here's just to wrap it up because we're kind of
alluded to a winner Gagne here at the end.
So I want to get back. I don't know if you wrote this or if I did, but get back to Venba or Gunhead. Mm-hmm. I'm going to purchase the one with the least amount of Steam reviews, which theoretically is the one that sold the least.
Right.
So I think this will be Gunhead, basically, just because Venba.
I think so too. Venba got nominated for a game award.
Yeah. So let's just see. So Venba, which is 40% on Steam, but I'm obviously going to buy the PlayStation version.
Right, obviously.
Has 961 reviews on Steam. Oh, very positive. Nice job.
And Venba.
And Gunhead has sorry, that was Venba. Venba. 900, whatever.
61.
So if we go off our 1%, that would be 100,000 sales.
Not bad.
And Gunhead has 89, so one tenth of it. So I'm going to purchase Gunhead on PlayStation right now.
Ding, there we go. All right, Steve. Winner. I guess we'll check in with you next week about what you think of Gunhead or the near future.
Yeah, I'm dialing into my console right now. Will I play it tonight? I don't know what I'm going to play tonight. I might do a VR workout. And then.
Oh, hell yeah. Do a VR workout. No, I've been going on walks. And
walking is great, man.
I helped a friend move today. I helped a friend move a bunch of stuff. That was fun.
That's garbage. But walking is great. I go on a lot of walks.
Yeah, no, I whenever I come over to your place, we go on walks. We go, we walk to the corner store, we walk around to garage sales, we walk to the park. It's lovely.
Yeah. I go on, I went on a walk. Was that last night? Yeah, I went on a walk last night. And I go by the water and check out the boat. Good shit.
CanadianGameDevs.com fully endorses walking. And once again, the U.S. representative's ban on TikTok. Get that shit out of here.
Oh, did okay. So I'm looking at our bets just to wrap it up. Did the Mass Effect Destiny 2 skins come out?
Ooh, check the price on that. Oh, what did you bet it would cost? A lot of money.
$30 each.
Oh my goodness, there's no way it costs that much. That's why you come out. I don't know. Let's see.
5 minutes later.
Oh, here you go. Here you go. The armor sets are bought for roughly 2,000 silver each, or $20 US.
Oh, US.
Yes. Yeah, so do that. What's that in Canadian?
Well, here I'll just get 2,000 silver.
Did what's 2,000 silver on the PlayStation Store in Canadian?
On Steam, 2,000 silver. Of course, I don't have fucking 2,000 silver plus 300 bonus is $27.
Okay, so under 30.
Yeah, it's under 30. I went over.
You okay. Did go too high. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, no, 20 US would have been safe. So I win that one, and we all lose by this existing. So, do the reverse slide whistle, just a Oh, and I also learned what the bonus means in sports gambling when they tell you there's a sign-up bonus. It means you have to win it like a certain amount of times, sometimes like 5, sometimes 8, before you can actually take it out.
What are you betting on? What are you gambling on?
I just like to place a bet every time I watch the Super Bowl, so I bet on the Super Bowl in February.
Oh, okay. Did you win?
Yes.
There you go.
But I can't take it out until I win it 4 more times.
So check in Super Bowl.
Yeah, check in Super Bowl 50, whatever, I'll let you know. That's true. I just pre-ordered all my Super Bowl bets for the thing. Well, we're putting a lot of faith in this gambling company to stay open for more than 5 years. Everyone check in with your gambling deposits frequently because those things go belly up all the time. Don't gamble, folks. Don't gamble. Unless you can win. If you can win, gamble. But if you can't win, don't.
No, be an adult and fucking gamble in the casino. Go to the casino.
Yeah.
And
gamble. Go like outside. Go on a walk. We go walk to gamble.
Don't fucking. I hate the gambling app stuff, man. I miss. All right, whatever.
Whatever. That's it for episode
236.
CanadianGameDevs.com for all of the events and news and podcasts and more. Patreon.com/CanadianGameDevs to back us, where you get the show 2 days early, discounts for Canadian gaming events like XP Games Summit coming up in June, and at the $5 credit patron tier or higher, we would like to personally thank you at the end of every episode. So thank you so much, Aaron McLeod, David Nagy, Dougsy, Eleanor, Elizabeth Avery, Kai Hutchins, Nicholas A. Zorko, Slaughter, Neko. Drops a review on whatever service you're on if you can. Twitter at Canada Game Devs. Steve, talk to us in the Discord. I like getting the wish list from there. I like seeing people's games in there. I like talking about games in there. Join the Discord.
And guess the game. Guess the game.
Guess the game.
I brought it back. It went on a little hiatus just because no one was posting it. I brought it back.
It's true. I like it. I'm playing it. It's fun. I'm doing my crossword and Wordle more now, which is good. It's like feels like I'm making my own brain age every morning with like 5 different websites, you know.
There's a good one called Le Connections, which is like Le? NBA players that have because it's a play on word of LeBron. Yeah. And so it'll just give you 16 players and you have to find like kind of what's connect, like what's sort of that's the common beautiful thing. So the one today, like there's some easy ones and some harder ones, but you need to know a little bit of ball. But
yeah, no, I watched my friend really into Pokemon do the Pokemon one, and like they give you like one of the types and an outline, and then they give you more information, and then by the end, it gets easier.
Yeah,
cool stuff. All right, that's episode 236 in the bag. Talk to you guys later.
Bye.
It's 9 a.m. in Beijing.
Youth has no age. Pablo.
The fuck does that mean, Pablo Picasso?
Is this like the Picasso, the like normal Picasso painter guy?
Yeah, that guy. The normal one who just, no, which one cut off his ear? Was that Van Gogh?
That was Van Gogh. I only know that because there was a, there is, or was at least, or maybe is, a bar in downtown Guelph called Van Gogh's Ear.
That's funny. Does Picasso have a controversy section? I love when they have a controversy. Oh, he has a political views section. I love when they have a political views section.
There's probably some stuff in there.
He applied for French citizenship but was refused on his grounds of extreme ideas evolving towards communism. All right, I like him.
There you go. There
boy. All right, Steve, let's keep this a nice, tight 60 here with